This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker, and my guest today is Zeb Beard from Strokers Diesel. And we're primarily going to be talking about the idea of sponsoring a professional fisherman, which is something that Zeb is doing for marketing his shop. But if you know Zeb, you know we're going to talk about some other things as well that are probably going to get pretty interesting in the way that he, I don't know, like the rules don't apply to Zeb. He gets by with things that nobody else can get by with. And it's going to be a really interesting discussion. So before we get too far in, though, let's take a second to thank our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss, shop management software that works the way you need it to right out of the box. Are you ready to convert clients to members? AppFueled specializes in creating custom apps tailored specifically for auto repair businesses. Build client loyalty. Get started today with your own customer loyalty app. Visit appfueled.com. Well, hey, Zeb, how's it going?
All right.
Glad to have you with me today. Wanted to talk to you about this idea of sponsoring a professional fisherman, which is something that you just recently started doing, right?
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about that. What made you decide to do that?
It's kind of a thing of mine. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional fisherman, you know, but I'm okay at fishing, but I'm not good enough to do it on a professional level. And so you'd see these guys with all these names and stuff on their jerseys. And I thought, man, that would be cool to someday have my business large enough to do something like that. So over the last couple of years, it's really been on my mind pretty hard. So I started studying these guys and studying them pretty close and trying to find one that I could afford, yet was good enough to get some good exposure with, you know, and I just kind of wanted to be a part of professional fishing. So this is a way I can do it without the pressure of trying to be a professional fisherman myself. I can spectate and get to be a part of the team and everything, but I don't have to do any of the work. So that's one of the reasons I did it. The guy that I ended up going with, he's very unique in that he doesn't have any legs and he doesn't have much in the way of arms. And I didn't choose him because of that. I chose him because I think in 2024, I think he did 260 tournaments that year. So he's on the road constantly and he goes all over the nation, but he does a lot in Arkansas too, because he's an Arkansas native. He's born and raised in Arkansas. So it's good exposure for my company in Arkansas and over the entire United States.
So when you did it, was it just because of the passion that you have for fishing, or was it something that you, you know, expect to get a return out of? Like, what was the purpose behind it?
Well, like I said, I wanted to be a part of professional fishing. I don't expect this to have 10 vehicles pull up that need me to work on from sponsoring this guy. I don't expect 10 cars to roll up the day after he wins a tournament. I'm not looking for that. I just want to get as much exposure as I can. And it gives me something interesting to talk about on all my socials. So anything like that you can do, me and the guy work together and we promote each other. I promote him just as much as he promotes me. A lot of times on sponsorship deals, the companies will get into it for the wrong reasons. They'll think, well, the team or the person that I'm sponsoring does all the work as far as putting out the word and giving the exposure. When you sponsor someone like this, it gives you a good talking point as far as being the one doing the sponsor. So every time he enters a tournament, I get to talk about that. If he does good, I get to talk about that. A lot of that kind of stuff. And it gives me content. I can repost and share his content, and we can make content together and work together with it.
Well, I imagine it still really hits your target audience a lot too. You know, being a diesel shop.
Yes, it does.
Most of the guys are pulling those boats with the kind of trucks you're working on. Of course, you're working on everything up to 18 wheelers, but definitely the right target audience.
Oh yeah. The televised pro fishing is exactly my target audience. That's exactly who I want to market to. Most of the time it's older guys. And it's just some younger ones too, but a lot of the guys are middle-aged and settle down and they like to fish. And like I said, they all have trucks. They're usually married. So their wife has, you know, an SUV or a car or something. And they probably have kids that have cars. So yeah, it's it's right up my alley as far as my target demographic.
So what does the sponsorship look like? Does he have like his boat wrapped with your logo and all that?
Yes, I'm on there. I'm not the title sponsor. I didn't quite go full in on being the biggest sponsor, but I'm right up there. So I get my name on his truck and on his boat and on his jersey. And that's another unique thing about fishing, sponsoring a professional bass fisherman, is these tournaments typically last 3 full days, 3 8-hour days. They have, my name will be on the back of his jersey. So, and they put cameras in the boats a lot of times, and the fisherman himself will have his own cameras. And then the league that he's fishing for puts cameras in the boat. And some of that stuff makes, you know, you never know with the tournament series, if they really grow, it might be on ESPN or Fox or something like that. And you get 8 hours a day for 3 straight days. So it's a lot of exposure. And his truck is traveling on the road all the time, so I get exposure there. And then good thing about Hunter, you know, he doesn't have arms and legs, so everybody knows him where he goes. He's going to stand out from the rest of the crowd. So he was a no-brainer.
I guess first, how long have you been doing this?
Well, I just started. You do it for a year, but, you know, we sign a contract for a year, and then I pay him every quarter. So we just got started. The main series that he fishes hadn't started yet. I really haven't got much exposure from personally from being on his person or on his truck yet, but we've already started sharing. We made a little video showing him the phone call when we called each other and made the deal. And then we shook hands. We made a little video for that. And so we got some publicity out of that. And we're already seeing both sides. His socials are growing because of me. My socials are growing because of him. So it's working already, even though it hasn't started.
Yeah, so you're already seeing an ROI.
Yes.
That's really awesome.
And everybody that comes in the shop, a lot of the people, they want to talk about it. They come in, and if I happen to be, I don't go in the reception area too much, but if I see one of my customers in there, they automatically call me over there and want to talk about it. So it's generating a good buzz, you know?
Now, have you done anything like this in the past for brand building?
Yeah, I do a lot of unique things like that. I love brand building. It's my favorite thing to do. And I've talked about this before. I started wanting to build a brand when I was a kid, probably 7, 8, 10 years old. I started wanting to build a brand even before I wanted to build a shop. I wanted some sort of brand. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I started working on it in my head then. So I'm always looking for unique things. One time I sponsored a band, a rock and roll band. We were going down to the Keys a whole lot at that time, and we made friends with this band that was down there. We tried to coordinate our trips so we would be down there when they were down there playing. And one thing led to another. I sponsored their whole trip to Key West one time, and they wore my shirts on stage and gave me some shout outs. Of course, they had a live stream. The bar they were playing in had a live stream. So of course I promoted it and put it out on my socials and got a lot more people to watch it. So it was kind of cool. I'm not going to say that it brought in a ton of business, but it gave me good exposure. It gave me something to talk about.
Well, you know, I think people often underestimate brand building because it's not something where you can typically track the return on investment. But I mean, in your case, something's working. I mean, you've built a 64,000 square foot shop. You can drive an 18 wheeler in, turn around and drive out.
That's another secret marketing deal that I made. This building has probably been the greatest piece of marketing that I've ever done. In itself is a huge advertisement. Everybody's talking about it across the country. I mean, it's known worldwide. Everybody knows what it looks like. They want to talk about it. They talk about it when I'm not around. It always gets brought up. So that was a real good thing for my marketing and my brand building was this building. Because the other building that came from, it was pretty large too. And every time I would add on to it, I'd make a big deal about it. I'd make a lot of social posts about it. And people wanted to talk about it. I think I added on to it 3 times. And every time I did it, you know, it brought my exposure up even more. So when I built this thing, it really did well for that.
Well, I haven't been there yet, and I'm going to make it there.
Come on. We'd be glad to have you.
But I've seen pictures. It has a presence to it. So is it in a place where it gets a lot of good visibility as well? Or do you have to kind of go looking for it?
Well, it's on a highway. It's not a real major highway here. It's a state highway, and you can see it easily from the highway, but it's not like on the main interstate or something. If you were going to walk across it, you probably wouldn't have to wait. Would be the best description of how much traffic it is on. It's just a 2-lane road, but it's pretty close to town. And it's probably one of the biggest cities in Southeast Arkansas. So it's in a good place.
So if you live in that area, you've seen the building.
Yes.
And do you have big signage and everything?
I do. I have 2 signs on it. I was pretty slow about getting them put up. I should have got them put up right away, but the sign on the front, I didn't get it up until, I don't know, we'd probably been here close to a year when I got it up. And I had signage hanging on the fence and that kind of stuff, but nothing really popped until I got the actual real signs hung up in there. Let's see, I'm trying to think of what the dimensions are. I think they're 8 foot tall and 20 feet long, so they're pretty big. They look small on the building, but they're big signs.
And then you've also taken that branding and put it on t-shirts that are kind of everywhere as well, right?
Yeah, people love the shirts, and I need to, not done a good job on selling those shirts. I need to, which I got Shop Marketing Pros working on that. We're working on a website where they'll be available to purchase on the website and stuff like that. I've started working with a graphics company years ago. I can't remember the exact year. I'm going to think probably 2016, something like that. I hooked up with this graphics company, and man, they did a fantastic job. They were able to, this is before AI, they were able to take the images in my head. I could describe them, and they brought them to life on shirts and banners and that kind of stuff. So that's been a real good thing for my marketing. Everybody wants those shirts.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. ShopBoss offers real solutions backed by real experience. Simply put, it's shop management software that works your way. When customers are in the lobby and cars are on the lift, you don't have time for a learning curve. That's where ShopBoss comes in, with profit-boosting features that work the way you need them to right out of the box. From built-in DVI to robust customizable reporting, ShopBoss makes everything about running a shop work more smoothly. Plus, with their Boss Pay Payments feature powered by 360 Payments, you can enter the era of totally paperless payments. From text to pay, remote payments, and consumer financing options, to compliance, surcharging, and now even offering PayPal and Venmo options. Everything is built right into ShopBoss. Plus, everything is backed by a fantastic support team with one goal in mind: your success. Be the boss with ShopBoss. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy. And that's been the primary type of marketing that you've done from the beginning, right? It's just kind of grassroots brand building, not really paid advertising or any of that kind of stuff.
No, very little of that kind of stuff, and probably almost none. I sponsor rodeo events. I do that because that's my target demographic. I like to sponsor rodeos, and I do a few ball teams and stuff like that. That stuff doesn't bring out a whole lot, but it helps you within the community. The community likes to see that, and so I do that. But back in the early days, I did a few paid ads on Facebook, but they didn't really do anything. But I've come to find out that Facebook pays me really better than I can pay them. So I think right now, I think I get about $400 from Facebook this month. I think we kind of started going pretty good. We had the big ice storm, you know. And so I've got a road grader, and the state hired me. They've done it for the past few years that we've had a big ice storm. They hired me to come out and clear the ice off the state highways because the state highway department was just overworked at that time. So they find privateers with road graders, you'll sign a contract before the winter season gets there. They want your insurance and all that stuff. And then if it's bad enough, they'll call you. So I got started doing that. And I put out a couple of videos of me doing that and was talking about the road conditions on the roads that I was blading. And it kind of took off, and I started hashtagging a road report because I was doing them every day. So that went on for a week, and man, it grew. I think right now we're at 1.7 million views for the month, which is big for me. I mean, it's not big for a real content creator, but it's pretty big for me. So the last day that I was doing that, I said, well, this will probably be the final road report. We're about to get all this ice cleared up, and you know, the roads are clean. Everybody's kind of getting back to normal. And so I had all kinds of sad reacts on it. And then even myself, I felt kind of sad about it. You know, I was like, I just need to keep this going. So now I've turned it into a thing. Every day I put out the road report. That's doing pretty well. It's kind of dropping off after the ice storm left, but it's doing better than my normal stuff. So I got to keep the road report going. And that consistency thing, I have some bangers. You know, I have about one a month. I have go pretty high. You know, it'll get quite a few views, but I never was able to put out a video every single day until this road report deal came along. That's very important. And everybody's told me that, all the content creators I'm friends with, and I've heard it on your show many times, got to be consistent. You got to do it every day. And that's the truth. You got to keep it going. Even if you don't feel like it, because I don't feel like it every day. I know if you watch the videos, it seems like I do, but some days I'm having a bad day and I just really don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to go do my thing. And you got to just put your game face on, get in there and do it.
Yeah. People think that content creators are just living the easy life, but they don't realize how difficult it is sometimes to keep the ideas up and then just to, you know, get out there and actually do it. It's a ton of work. Now, when it comes to branding, one of the things that I like to talk about, and I'll use Harley Davidson as the example, because people often think that branding is about the logo and the colors and all of that. And that's part of it. But there's so much more to branding than that. Like if we use Harley Davidson as the example, it's the sound of that motorcycle. It's the vibration. It's the feeling that it gives that attorney who is all stuffy wearing a suit all week long and on the weekend gets to throw on, you know, a t-shirt and some leather and go hit the road and act like a completely different person. Brand is about the way that it makes a person feel and everything. That's a huge part of your brand also. I talked in the very beginning of this episode about how Zeb gets away with things that most people just can't do. And I listened to you on another podcast really talking about it. I was like, how in the world does he pull that off? But I watch it in real life. You know, just like somebody recently made a comment about Susie and you just put it out there on the company page. Tell us a little bit about the way that you do this.
I've been in business since 2005 and really before that, because we all get started. We work on side jobs. You know, we may go to work 8 to 5 somewhere. In the automotive business, we always have side work. Nights and weekends, people branch vehicles. So I was in business before that too, before my actual shop opened. I was pretty rough then too. I wasn't just the nice guy 100% of the time. But when I went in business, I was kind of meek and mild at first. And I found that I was getting run over by customers and they were pushing me around. And I got tired of it. It was a good while. Probably in 2013, I had the worst customer I've ever had. He pushed me over the edge. I said, I'm stopping this right now. I said, no more. No customers ever are going to push me around. I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. Because how many times in your life, when you go through a situation, when you get done, you go, I wish I'd have said this, or I wish I'd have done this. It happens all the time. I vowed right then in my life, I said, I know it's still going to happen, but I'm going to cut that to a minimum. I don't ever want to get through the situation and say, man, I should have done this or I should have done that. So that's the way I started doing things. And the people loved it. It went the opposite of what you would think. You think, well, man, if I do something, if I say that, or if I do that, it's going to backfire and I'm going to lose customers and the people are not going to like it. But it hasn't worked that way for me. I may lose a few. I may get a few that don't want to come in here because they're scared you know, of how I'm going to treat them, but they don't realize that that's only in certain situations. I'm going to treat you the same way that you treat me. And the customers have figured that out. They love me. They're super loyal. They take up for me. They got my back always. And the ones that runs off, I probably didn't want them anyway. They're probably going to be too tough to work with. So I've learned that just the more I put myself out there and let my true self come out, the better the public likes the part of the public that I want to do business with, I should say.
Well, it takes a lot of the pressure off as well and keeps you from setting unrealistic expectations. You don't give promise times on vehicles.
I don't want to make a promise I can't keep. A lot of the stuff we do is complex problems or big problem. You know, it's an engine problem or something like that. It's not, we don't do a whole lot of small work that can be done in a few minutes. Our intake process, we're going to do a full inspection over the whole vehicle. And then we got to do the estimate, and then we got to do the full diagnostics on it, no matter what it is, even if it's just a check engine light and the vehicle's running fine. We're going to do all that stuff. So that takes a full day. And then we have to do the estimate, and that usually takes, to get the estimate right, it takes a half a day by the time you get all the parts together, or, you know, the parts list together, and then all the prices and all that. By the time it goes through the office, it's another 4 hours. So I don't give any promise time. And then you're always going to run it. When you get the job, you're always going to run into something. It's going to be a problem with the new parts, or they're going to be the wrong parts, or you overlook something, because you always do. You can't know everything you got to do until you get in there to it. So I don't set a promise time because I know I can't keep it. And we don't run a whole lot of employees, so I don't even run a schedule. When they pull up out there, they come in, they go through the process, and however they come in is how they roll through the process. So you bring it and drop it off, and we'll call you when we get our estimate figured.
Well, and that's got to add a lot to the quality of work also, when people are not being rushed to meet a promise time that was made, and, you know, something happened that made it get behind, and now you're still trying to meet that promise time. And then it's got to be good also for employer retention, when they're not constantly just getting hammered on about this has got to be done, this has got to be done.
Exactly.
It might seem a little bit harsh when you first think about it, but when it comes down to it, you're actually doing the client a favor.
That's right. And they don't have to bring it back. Usually, I mean, I'm not going to say everybody's got comebacks, but we do everything we can to cut comebacks to a minimum. I drive the vehicles quite a bit. I may drive them 5 or 6 times, 10 miles at a time. Even for something minor, if I don't feel 100% confident that vehicle is going to leave and not come back for the same problem, I just don't let it leave. It stays till I feel 100% confident.
Now, one of the things we didn't talk about was your house is inside of your shop.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you like that?
Oh, I love it. Me and Susie both love it because we've had it both ways. When I first opened it, we were 20 miles away. We lived 20 miles away. So it was a chore every day to get up, get your stuff together, go to the shop. Then when you get done, you got to come home. And a lot of times I like to work after hours. So, you know, about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, your stomach goes to ground. You're ready to eat supper, you know? So I knew Susie had a good hot supper cooked at home. Well, by the time I'd get home and eat supper, it was just too late to go back. So then we moved 5 miles from the shop. And I thought, this will be the solution right here. So we bought a place and moved 5 miles from the shop. And it was better, but it was still... We went back and forth all the time. And then around the place, I was always needing some tools or something. Everything I needed was at the shop. I had to go back. Even on my days off, I was going back and forth to the shop. So at the old place, we ended up building an apartment there at the old place the last time we added on. And so I was like, this is the way to go. So I got to where I wanted to stay in the apartment instead of going home to my actual home. When I drew up the concept for this place, I said, we're going to live there. That's what we do.
We did the same thing pre-COVID. We had an office building in downtown Hammond, Louisiana, and there was a big space we weren't using. We built an apartment in it. And Kim and I and Peyton, we lived there. We were right in the middle of downtown, downtown Hammond's not much of a downtown, but it was still, you know, just a really cool thing. And I mean, for the last 8 years, I've lived where I work, worked where I live. And it's really nice. And like you said, you kind of have to draw boundaries to keep from working all the time. But at the same time, it's really nice to be able to, I mean, like if you want to go out in the shop at 9 o'clock at night and finish something that you can't get off your mind, you can do it. The same thing with me. If I want to come out to my office and work on, you know, lately it's been lighting in the podcast studio, I can do that. I'm right here. And the quality of life that that adds of being right there and not having to commute, man, it's nice.
Oh yeah, I love it. There's so many advantages, way more than the disadvantages. Some customers are pushy a little bit on the boundaries, but most of them have respected my boundaries pretty good. I've always worked a lot of times 7 days a week, but I've since I think 2009, I had a perimeter fence. I built a fence around the shop, but it's away from the shop. So the shop is inside the fence, away from it. The fence doesn't come to the building. So they can pull up out there at that fence. If I'm in there working, they can pull up out there at that fence and scream and holler and call on the phone all they want to. But as long as if they don't come over that fence, there's nothing they can do, you know. But most of them are pretty understanding. Even though if they know if I'm here, they know if I don't answer the phone, leave him alone. Don't bother.
Well, I love the way you do things. And you were commenting on a post of mine on Facebook yesterday. And I said, man, I'd love to be able to just kind of put it out there the way that you do. And you're inspiring me to be that person. Like when I'm face to face with somebody, I'll say exactly what's on my mind. But when it comes to the whole public, putting it out on social media and all that, I'm always real careful about it. What are people going to think? You're inspiring me to maybe get a little bit more edgy.
Yeah, well, that's something I've threw out the window. If I want to put it out there, and people will tell you this, it's met me. A lot of people say, oh, he's just an internet tough guy. But no, if you meet me somewhere, I'm exactly the same in both places. On the internet is my true self. That's really my true self. I'd be more reserved probably in person than I would be on the internet, but it's not much of a difference. It's a slight difference, I should say. The people accept it pretty well. It'll win more hearts and minds than it'll lose. I can tell you that way.
Yeah, I've watched it happen. So with watching you. Well, Zeb, I appreciate it. This has been a fun episode and I appreciate you being here. Look, if y'all are at Vision or ASTA, I'm sure you're going to be probably at both of those or.
Yeah, I plan on coming to both of them. Unless some disaster happens at Vision, ASTA, I'm going to be there if I have to walk there. I don't know that I've signed up for my classes or anything yet. I think I've got my hotel room. We'll also be at Tools. Come to Tools. Will you be at Tools? Brett's done a fantastic job of that thing, and he's invited me there, so I got to make sure I go there. And a lot of my friends are up in the Northeast, so I got to come up there to visit them.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're going to miss that one.
Oh, okay.
Our company retreat happens that same exact weekend. We already had the house booked and everything. But yeah, so if you're at one of these events, look Zeb up. Again, I appreciate you being on with me today.
I love being on podcasts. I'm up for it anytime.
All right. Well, thanks to all of you who've listened in today. Remember, we are one of a handful of podcasts on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. You can find the others at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, as well as a really awesome app to download and be able to listen to all the podcasts. We hope you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Marketing questions? Well, the Walkers have the answers. Check the show notes for their email.